Hello, and welcome to today's A Marvelous Lunch Break. We're getting straight into it. On today's show, we'll be discussing episode 2 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier that came out at the end of last week on Disney Plus. Joining me today, as always, is Miss Marvel herself, Anna Harrison. Hello.
Hello.
And of course, back, making a huge return in episode 2, is Agent Martin Carter. How are you?
Hello. Sorry I wasn't here last week. I was watching Zack Snyder's Justice League and it took all week.
And you can listen to all of your thoughts about that on your solo podcast, the Martinless Lunch Break.
Oh, wait.
So hello as well to all our listeners this week from around the world. If this is the first time you're tuning in, or if you're back for more, do note there are spoilers in this podcast. We may have forgot to say that last week, but if you're listening to us, please remember to review, subscribe, so you can get more of this more regularly. We'll be watching and talking about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the first season, maybe the only season, who knows. But in the meantime, between episodes, if you want to follow us on our Instagram account, Anna, what's the details?
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
Nice. And please feel free to send us any questions, send us your thoughts about the episodes. And first up, as we always do, we usually do a one-minute roundup of movies and the likes, Anna, because, you know, you've got like 2 hours to fit into 1 minute. It's a bit of a challenge, right? But here we've got like 45 minutes to fit into. What are you doing? How are we going to work it this season?
So I've been thinking about this. I mean, to be fair, they pack so much into these episodes that I think it would still be a challenge to do like a 60-second roundup. But in honor of this sort of new Marvel format of series rather than our movies, I've decided something new. And it might be the cheesiest thing ever, but I have done a recap of the episode in a quick rhyming couplet, 11 verses. So,
okay.
So it's going to be short and sweet like our episodes. There's going to be no clock because, God willing, this is going to be infinitely shorter than 60 seconds. But, you know, I thought it would bring a new flavor and flair to our podcast, not unlike not unlike the series is bringing new flavor and flair to the MCU. All right, so are we ready?
Yeah, well, no. I mean, no. I'm as ready as I possibly will ever be.
Yeah, I can feel you both cringing already. Here we go.
Do you want a count? Do you want a countdown, or do you just want? Should we just go into it?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Welcome let's keep to the stage.
Yeah. Finger snaps, please. Finger snaps. All right. I'm just gonna dive in. Maybe we'll develop some sort of more elaborate intro. Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. Recap of episode 2. The world welcomes a new star-spangled man while Bucky fumes at the loss of Cap's plan. Subdued Sam tries once again to explain, but Bucky just can't see past his own pain. But they have to put on hold their bickering and suspicion as Bucky decides to crash Sam's butt-kicking mission. It starts off badly as Bucky goes splat and the so-called terrorists roll out the welcome mat. Epic Van Top showdown is the best action so far, but doesn't end in victory even with the arrival of new Cap and Battlestar. New allies rebuffed, spirits are crushed, and Sam still can't see that Bucky feels if he was wrong about you, he was wrong about me. And what if these terrorists and their helpers so delighted? Are they really so bad with their hopes of one world, one people united? Buck and Sam try to seek help from Bucky's old foe, but all we learn is for a black hero, there's only woe. Court-mandated therapy devolves into staring contest, and the world-weary therapist is so not impressed. New Cap warns them to stay out of his way, but Sam and Bucky won't abstain from this fray. The only next option for our odd couple heroes is to open old wounds and speak to one Baron Zemo.
That was very, very good. It was legible. I heard all the words.
Yeah. Which
is, you know, a big improvement. It was funny. And how long did it take you to write that?
You know, I will have to admit that I did use a rhyming dictionary at times. Like, I got stuck on a few ones, so that helped immeasurably, I will say. But I think once I get into like the flow of it, I might be able to churn them out a bit more quickly. I don't actually want to say how long it took me. Maybe an hour.
Well, I mean, if you're willing to spend the time, I think that's a great addition.
Excellent. Anna, did you do beat poetry at high school?
I didn't, but I will say at university, we had like an open mic regular open mic night at the Greenleaf. And there were a few young college students who fancy themselves beat poets. So I would say I absorbed some of their some of their lessons there. But no, I did it myself.
Nice. Well, I think that definitely needs to stay, and we'll figure out how to introduce it better next week. It's a process of evolution is this podcast. But getting straight into it then. Let's start off, kick off with the cast as we always do. First up, we've got our big two names. We've got Anthony Mackie as Falcon and Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes. I think
together at last.
A dual cheer. And then we've got a few new names this week, a couple maybe referenced last week, but I think they had a big enough presence in this episode that we need to go through them again. So we've got Wyatt Russell as Captain America.
Man, yeah, you know what? He deserves a round of applause. I was prepared to hate the pants off him, and I think we're in for a really complicated character. I'm excited.
Do you not hate him?
I do, but like I was expecting like, I don't know, I was expecting to be sort of like a dismissive kind of hate, but I would say I hate him. How dare he wear the mantle, and he seems like he has the capacity to be an enormous ass. I have faith in what this actor might do with this character, so yeah.
I think you might have broken out a little bit there, Anna. I'm not sure whether you did. Do you want to go over what you said again?
It seems like
a very valid point.
No, I was totally expecting to sort of like dismissively hate him, just like, how dare you wear his mantle? And like, he obviously has the capacity to be an enormous ass. But I'm really keen to see what this actor does with this character. So yeah, he's worthy of my golf clap.
Fair enough.
I really enjoyed that throughout the episode he started to grow a beard, and he got stubblier and stubblier as the episode went on. It's like it took Cap like 10 years to grow that beard, and you've done it in the space of the episode.
And we're slowly getting the whole of the Russell family in the MCU, right?
Yeah.
The dad's a planet. The son's a fake Captain America. And soon the two will unite for the worst movie you have ever imagined. next up then, we've got Erin Kellyman, who played Carly Morgenthau. I don't know if we heard the surname in the episode, so I'm going to guess that's how it's pronounced. Started off as a hostage, quickly ended up as the leader of the Flag Smashers. How was Carly as a character for you?
I mean, we haven't gotten much of her yet. I'm so curious. I think we know that she was going to be the bad guy. I think we saw that in the trailer, so I wasn't surprised. But I still like the way they handled the turn of her kind of seeing as this kind of like demure, afraid person, and then just being total ass kickery. But yeah, until we delve a little bit more into what they're actually doing and how they're doing it, I'm kind of reserving judgment on that character just yet. But I am intrigued.
Is she English?
I thought she was because she's getting a bit typecast as leader of rebellions because she was in Solo, the Star Wars movie, as sort of the leader-ish of a group of rebels there. And she had a heavily British accent in that, so I'm guessing that she is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't particularly. Well, I didn't lean into her in this episode. I wasn't that bothered about finding out more about her. But we've got another four to go, so it might change.
And then we've got Clay Bennett as Battlestar, another named hero getting added to the mix.
Yeah.
Interesting. So interesting, the addition of that character. I've got to say, like, I don't really know much about U.S. agent, this version of Captain America and Battlestar, but like, just fascinating that sort of like the machine of whatever is, you know, behind, you know, the administration kind of behind getting Cap back out, but like, well, he also has to have a black sidekick, exactly like Cap did. So like that kind of mirroring that's happening at the moment. I yeah, so interested to see how that develops.
And then the final one that we've got here as well, only a small sort of appearance, but a big impact, is Carl Lumley as Isaiah Bradley, which I thought was a great scene. An unhappy scene, but it was one of those when Bucky was like, we're going to go speak to someone. I was like, who is this going to be? And it turned into pretty much like one of the major scenes of the episode, really.
Definitely. And I think cast brilliantly as well. Like Lumley is, you know, he's been in the industry for ages. I think Cagney and Lacey, I don't know if that was something that was over in the UK, but like that was kind of an American staple, like CBS show, police drama for ages. And he was in that. So, and he just really brings a good like gravitas and like intensity. So I thought it was a heart-wrenching scene, but that was, I think he was the perfect person to bring that through.
So are we saying that the super soldiers that are in Civil War who died, they died, didn't they?
Yeah, so Zemo killed them. Yeah,
so they're dead. But there was this guy who was a super soldier in the Vietnam War. And then there's now the Flag Smashers have also got the super serum. That's where we are, right?
There's lots of super going on. And the thing with Isaiah, if you go in, so like, I guess, exposition from the comic books, and if it is it all going to translate over, but the equivalent is that, you know, after the World War II and Captain America and the super serum that enabled him to have his powers, the US government or some governments tried to recreate the super soldier serum and used test subjects to try and do that. And Isaiah Bradley was one of those test subjects that they tried to turn into a super soldier. And as a result, he went off to fight. He sort of illegally went off to fight in the war, as in he had the powers and he went over to fight, but then it was seen to have been treason because he was doing it against orders, so he got put in prison.
And I think like canonically in the comics as well, like it's a really horrific story actually, because I think my understanding, like they took about like 300 African American soldiers and pretty much just experimented on them brutally, and most and all of them except for Isaiah and maybe like a couple others, they all died as a result of this experimentation. So it's a really, really intense, really interesting element. Yeah, an interesting element to kind of bring to the fore in this sort of America like story that's happening. So yeah.
I thought that at the end of Civil War it was established that like the super serum just doesn't exist or work anymore. So to have these kind of like gang of people who it's all worked for, and then in the same episode meet someone who it's worked for in the past as well, it just seemed to kind of not undercut, but it was like, oh okay, so there is more of this super serum than we thought within the MCU.
Yeah,
I think the big question is how's the Flags like Isaiah makes sense, because that was like, you know, 60 years ago, right? But, and so, you know, that still stands that from the point of Civil War, the serum is gone.
Yeah.
But the Flag Smashers are still a bit of an unknown, really. Mm-hmm. You know, have they got their powers before the end of Civil War? Are they a remnant of, you know, maybe something that was left over, or did they get it before that? Or did, has something happened since?
I imagine we'll be getting some more answers about that. And I wouldn't be surprised if their new powers didn't come at a cost.
There's always a cost.
we've gone through the cast. We've started to talk a little bit there, you know, about the history of some of the characters in here. What about, do you think that the history that's going on between Bucky and Falcon here, they're starting to mend their relationship a little bit, they're starting to move forward, but they still seem to be stuck in the past a little bit. How do you feel they're getting on as they're kind of partners yet, do you think?
Not partners yet. I would say, I mean, I'm loving it. I'm so happy that they're together finally, like sharing the screen. They always had great chemistry. I think everyone would say that, like, some of the standout moments in Civil War is Bucky and Cap, like, Bucky and Sam, like, clashing with their little quips and one-liners and everything. But I think they, like, this episode really kind of delving into Bucky's pain and all the baggage that he himself is carrying and putting that on Sam. And Sam's already carrying a massive burden of responsibility, and, you know, we haven't really had the chance to properly delve into what's going on in Sam's head about giving up the shield and sort of everything that's been going on. But I think it makes sense to kind of highlight Bucky's feelings about it first, and then hopefully we're going to be bringing Sam's in, and then I'm so looking forward to the two of them kind of like meshing and gelling, and we're gonna I have such high hopes for the two of them coming together, and then maybe it'll be in the final episode, but seeing the two of them fighting in sync together, that is going to be an epic moment that I am so ready for. And I feel like we've seen the scenes.
Do you think we're going to wait to the end? Do you think we're going to wait to episode 6 for that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Dan. I don't know. Hopefully not, because I would like to see a few episodes of it. But
it's going to be some sort of like mission to steal the shield or something that's going to involve both of their abilities.
So do you think this is going to culminate in the shield being returned to Sam, or do you think that it's going to now? Do you think it's going to culminate in them letting go of the shield? Because Captain America's starting to represent something quite different now. How do you think that's going to play out longer term? What's your theories at the minute? Anyone?
I think by the end of it, they'll have the shield, but then they'll like keep it hidden away somewhere. I think they, but I don't think that will mean that the kind of iconography of Captain America will disappear. I think that there'll always be this kind of like fake Captain America that they'll roll out for football games and national anthem moments. But I think at the end of it, where we'll get to is that there will be, the shield will be hidden somewhere in the Avengers base or some other facility. Mm. That's what I think about him.
Yeah, I could see something like that playing out as well, because it's, I can really see how, like, the Sam's argument of it felt like it belonged to someone else, and to take up a mantle like that that's so laden with, like, symbolism and, as we've seen, a certain expectation of what that looks like, I can definitely see, like, okay, no, it's time for something new. It's time for a new symbol. That being said, there's also something really powerful about, like, stepping into something that was traditionally reserved for, like, a different space, like a different, well, you know, what clearly is being thought of, like, oh, well, this is a white space. And I can see, like, the power of that being something that would be really daunting for Sam to undertake. But I could see, like, this series, throughout the series, him, like, building up to being able to really shoulder that. So I think it could go either way, to be honest. I love the idea of seeing Sam holding the shield, flying around with, like, the shield, like, displayed proudly and everything. But I think the longer that John Walker has it, the more that symbol is going to feel more tainted. So yeah, I could see that becoming a bit more of a relic of the past, of history, and Falcon and Buck finding something new to go forward with.
And with the, you know, you've mentioned there, you know, the expectations, and we touched on this in last week's episode as well, you know, the expectations on Falcon and Sam to, you know, whether he wants to keep the shield or not, and his motivations and reasons behind that. You know, we started to uncover a lot more sort of black issues in this episode, and rather some more direct examples. So, you know, in the last episode, we had the scene sort of in the bank where they were getting turned down for a loan to help save their business. Mm-hmm. But in this issue, I keep wanting to say issue. In this episode, they've really started to, I think, drive more regular examples, and especially as he's sort of back with Bucky, you're starting to see the comparison of how the two of them are treated as well. What sort of moments picked out for you in that?
Well, I mean, and I think it's really important for me to say here, like the three of us were obviously kind of viewing these events that have been very, obviously very purposely embedded into this episode from an outsider's perspective. I mean, the three of us, white people, can only like really bring our own experiences to it. So I can't really speak to like kind of what it would mean to like a different audience member. But I have been quite impressed that they've put this in as immediately and as like they're not going to shy away from this as an important element of like Sam as a superhero being a main character in this. And I'm really curious to see how it's handled and dealt with. But I think also like, so we have obviously the scene of the cop stopping them because he thinks that Bucky, white man, is being harassed by Sam, this black man. And like I think that's a scene that was really like difficult to watch, but it's also a scene that we're like a little bit familiar with almost. Like we've, you know, this is a injustice that we've seen kind of enacted on screen and unfortunately in real life a number of times. But I think also there were a few really interesting, more subtle moments in there as well. Like, for example, I really felt like coming from America and the pageantry and the importance of the American football game and the stadium, the marching band, the parades, like all those things around it. Like that is such like an American thing. But the use of like that incredible drum line that we saw at the start of the episode, that was something that was kind of brought into prominence by traditionally black universities. And then, you know, became like a staple of like a really big halftime show to sort of have that. And it's sort of like a similar thing you see like throughout American football games and everything. And I couldn't help but feel that like what it would have meant if this introduction was introducing the world to like a black superhero and how cool that would have been to like have that be this moment for them and what that would have meant. So I thought having such a focus on the drumline, that amazing, like, the amazing major who was doing like the steps and everything. And then to usher that into here is the superhero who has taken Sam's place, essentially, I thought was quite an interesting commentary as well. So yeah, I'll be really interested to see how this develops and how they keep touching on it.
And I think there was quite a bit there with the idea of Sam being thought of as Captain America's sidekick too. Mm-hmm. And how we've seen that reflected in Hoskins becoming Battlestar, which is, you know, the new Captain America's sidekick as well. Mm. And it's like within the universe that these characters exist in, it's like that trope is being played out in real time with, you know, their sort of squad selections as well. And you could visibly see in the car scene where they're all in the car. Like I thought both Sam and Bucky, you could see how visibly like over all of that they both were.
I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier is such a great pairing because Bucky is such an anti-hero that dynamic isn't the other way around. Like you're not expecting Bucky to be the Captain America trope because he's so like, he's got such baggage and he's done so many bad things that the automatic pairing is kind of, you know, Falcon is the hero and Bucky is the kind of, not the sidekick, but he can't step up into that position. I think that's why that choice of partnership works incredibly well in that I think it's really good at flipping the race expectations, but it also does it with kind of who those characters are as well, which I really enjoy. And I think that's becoming more evident when it is kind of juxtaposed, like you say, literally sitting opposite what the caricature is of this kind of clean-cut all-American hero plus the kind of quippy black sidekick. I think that was really, really smart. And I think throughout this entire episode, my main kind of thought was, well, Disney went there. Like, Disney isn't shying away from these problems that are so politicized, particularly within the last couple of years, that they are showing kind of real genuine moments of black culture, like the band at the halftime show, but then going all the way down to the kind of cop scene, it was like, I was just really surprised to see it, mm-hmm. portrayed within such a kind of, I don't know, such a show that is so Disney, that is so kind of Marvel. I don't know. It was, I was surprised.
So thinking of other things that happened, I guess, conflated with the new Captain America. So we've mentioned that car ride scene. They also had the fight scene on top of the on top of the trucks. Were you expecting him to get new Captain America to get his ass handed to him that hard?
Oh no! I mean, I wasn't expecting him to show up at all. Like, I thought that was kind of a like a surprise in itself. And then, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because like he doesn't have the superpowers. So, I mean, I don't know. There's something to be said about this guy who's just throwing himself into these battles with like super soldiers, which. Yeah, I don't know if that's like arrogance. It's like, mate, of course you were going to get absolutely smacked down. Oh, but I loved it. I loved that whole set, like from start to finish, Bucky jumping out of the plane. Why? Why did he decide to do that? It was so weird. It was so funny. But the whole thing, like that.
And why did he rip his sleeve off beforehand as well?
Because it's cool, Dad. Because it looks super cool.
He's ruined that jacket.
I know. Totally ruined that jacket. But yeah, you had to see the awesome, like, Wakanda arm. I'm impressed they let him keep that, to be honest.
But notably, I suppose he is still a super soldier. I was going to say he rips it off with his normal arm, but he is still a super soldier with his right arm as well. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and fast healing and everything. But oh, I thought that scene was so great.
I think the action scenes are the best thing about Falcon the Winter Soldier, definitely. Mm. They're so much fun to watch. And I think you guys talked about it last week. It's just like watching Falcon and like actually getting time to watch Falcon and his abilities is so fun. Like that kind of aerodynamic element is really, really good fun to watch.
And his super silent drone.
Well, RIP Red Wing.
He'll get another one. I think what I thought was really interesting about the... is that kind of truck fight scene features quite a lot in the trailer. And I think what I've been really impressed with this and WandaVision is that that Marvel have been really kind of, they've really held back from showing you everything in the trailers. Like Agatha was nowhere to be seen in the WandaVision trailers, nor was anything really in the last two episodes you really saw in the WandaVision trailers. In this, there was no sight of Captain America, the new Captain America in the trailers. And if you think back to like my main problem with like Thor, 3 was like in the trailer you saw his hammer get smashed up, which was meant to be such a massive moment in the film, and it just got undercut because you'd already seen it. I really enjoyed
it. And you got the Hulk spoiled as well.
And you got, yeah, he's a friend from work. And I think what I'm really enjoying about the MCU shows is that you are still surprised, and they're being really kind of restrained in what they're showing you before the episodes come up, which I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, but there's still a few things in the trailers that I'm eagerly waiting for, and she finally got a mention in this episode, Sharon Carter, how she was branded an enemy of the state, which I did always wonder, like, there's going to be consequences for having nicked Captain America's shield and Falcon's wings to give it back to these guys. And I mean, I think I'm remembering properly that in the trailer there is a brief clip of her, well, there's someone with the blonde hair absolutely like raining pain down on some people. So I'm really excited to get Sharon back on our screens as well.
Nice. So what do you think is coming up then? What are your hopes for the next episode? Where are your theories with how this is going to go? And what's your take on the big reveal at the end of this episode? Of course, we knew he was cast, but he's finally coming into it. Baron Zemo.
Oh yeah. I'm really excited to see how that's going to go down. Cause like for Bucky, that it really is going to be like confronting all his kind of worst fears, worst memories about himself, having to, you know, confront the guy who brought that out of him. The last time he saw him. And yeah, so I'm really excited to see that confrontation. I think just more of the same. I'm feeling like we're getting some really solid episodes. I think we're still getting some really great humor in with some of the heavier beats. But yeah, I really hope, even though it seemed like that was like the end of the therapy sessions, it's like, because I don't know, new Cap gave them a pass, being like, he doesn't have to do therapy anymore. I loved those scenes so much. So I hope that's not the end. It's not the end of Bucky's therapy sessions, and not the end of that, seeing that therapist. But oh man, I'm really excited. Life is really good at the moment. I mean, like, TV wise, okay, we're still in lockdown and my baby's teething and we've lost an hour of sleep, but man, having these to look forward to on Fridays have been great. You know, to go, we've got Line of Duty, we've got Bake Off, we've got Taskmaster, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier have been the icing on the cake for me. It's been great. I'm so excited. Can't wait to see what comes next.
I'm excited. You need to add...
Sorry, go on, Dan.
You first, Martin. Sorry. I have to plug. You need to add Invincible to that. Everyone needs to add Invincible to that. Oh. It is the best superhero output for a long time. I know it's animated. I'm not a huge fan of animated, but you're going to have to get used to animated before Marvel's What If. And mm-hmm. B, it is one of my favorite comic books. It is the greatest superhero comic book of all time. That is its strap line. And the first three episodes are all on Amazon Prime. Amazon, please sponsor us. It is incredible. And I'm hooked already. Right. First three episodes. Go check it out.
I'll get on that.
I have no idea.
It's superhero. It's good. Check it out. Go on. Do yourself a favor.
I am looking forward to knowing what on earth the Flag Smashers actually want to achieve, mm-hmm. who they are, what their MO is, because at the moment I'm finding it really difficult to care about them. I like that they can beat up some of our favourite heroes, but if we don't get any more depth, then they want to stop there being borders around countries, I'm going to really struggle. I need a bit more depth from my villains at the moment, and I'm not getting it. That's what I need from episode 3.
Oof. Heavily critiquing the Flag Smashers there.
Awesome action scenes. That is the point of them at the moment. Yeah.
Squirrel suits. They don't have to have a plan. They've got superpowers and squirrel suits. So speaking of the squirrel suits, I want you both to keep an eye out for this. You may remember in previous seasons we have mentioned how many trains there are in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It is taken to the skies in this season because there is a plane a minute in this goddamn series. I'm telling you that. Episode 1 was full of planes, and we come back in episode 2 and we're in the skies again. We're jumping out of planes, we're jumping into planes, we're flying planes, we're landing planes. All over the place. I think probably a bit of device. I was thinking, maybe is this a, you know, some sort of needed device to be able to let Falcon fly, you know, and have other things happening on a similar space to him. But he's barely been in. He was jumping out of the planes, and then he was the other plane was nothing to do with him. So keep an eye on episode 3. I think we're going to have a total of 3 planes. So, final rating for this episode. What do you want to give it, and what are you giving it out of? Anna, you can go first.
Unfortunately, we didn't have anything sort of as excellent as the Lucky Cats from last episode. I don't know, should we rate it out of the Mack trucks? The Mack trucks played a good...
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I think as before, it was good, it was solid. But yeah, I would give this 4 out of 5 Mack trucks.
Hmm. Martin, how about you?
3
3 out of 5 metrics. Okay.
Is it purely the Flag Smashers that are taking those 2 points off?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Right. I'm gonna give it I'm gonna be generous. I feel this is generous. I do feel it is generous. I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5 metrics. Because. Nice. I the threat, and we said this last week, I still don't know what the threat is for them. But I don't know whether we're possibly getting a slightly different type of story than that. We might not be getting the world's going to end story. I wonder if it's going to get a lot more political and sort of, you know, caught up in a bit more politics in episode 3, 4, 5, 6, rather than it being like a, we have to go take down the threat. I think that's maybe be where Falcon's mind is and Sam's mind is, but maybe the actual threat is elsewhere. So we'll see. And I bet Zemo's going to uncover some of that because he's always into his, you know, who's doing what.
Skeamy.
And
Skeamy schemer.
Flag smashes out the problem. This is your problem over here sort of stuff. So we'll see. Okay, well, that does it for this week. Thank you very much for joining us once again. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please remember to subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on everywhere that you can pretty much think of. If you can, give us a star on one of those if it's rated out of stars. If it's rated out of Mack trucks, give us a Mack truck. If it's rated out of androids, aliens, and wizards, give us one of them. If you can review, give us one of those two. If you want to get us on the social media and send us a lovely message thinking of what you thought about episode 2 or episode 3, Anna, where can people find us?
They can send us a direct message on Instagram, A Marvelous Lunch Break, or they can find me on Instagram, On A Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's.
And Martin, same question?
I'm Martin Lives on Instagram.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for swooping by. This has been A Marvelous Lunch Break. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you after episode 3.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.